When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Welcome to Stuff Mom Never Told You from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Kristen.
And I'm Caroline.
And Caroline, even though when we asked our Facebook fans, our listeners, a little while ago, whether or not they desired an Academy Awards podcast, and we received mixed results.
Mixed is putting it nicely.
Yes, it was a very polarizing question. Yeah. People were either gung-ho about the Academy Awards or gung-no, about the Academy Awards, saying, why would we waste our time talking about an awards show? It's Hollywood. It's baloney. Well, naysayers, we're bringing you our Academy Awards show. But it has a pretty good point, I think.
Right. Well, because we're also still in Black History Month.
That's right.
And so we want to talk about all of the amazing trailblazers, African-American women on film, on screen, behind the camera.
Yeah. And at the Oscars, even though when it comes to Black women on film and at the Oscars, it's more of a legacy of a lack of representation.
Right.
But first, since the Oscars are happening this Sunday, if you're listening to this podcast when it comes out, the Oscars are on Sunday, February 24th, and there are some possible history makers, starting off with 9-year-old Quvenzhané Wallace.
Yeah, she's making history as the youngest Best Actress Oscar nominee for the role in Beasts of the Southern Wild, which I hate to say I haven't seen yet. I keep meaning to go see.
I've not seen it as well. She plays Hush Puppy. And I hear that it's a pretty intense film. And if she does win for Best Actress, though, she would only be the second Black female to win in that category. The only other Black woman to win Best Actress at the Oscars was Halle Berry for her role in Monsters Ball,
right,
in 2001.
Jinx.
And even though we're not talking about the dudes, let's go ahead and acknowledge the fact that Denzel Washington is also up for Best Actor in Flight. And with his nomination, his sixth, he's the most nominated Black actor in Oscar history, and he'd be the first guy to win two Best Actors, I believe, among Black actors. So, things to watch out for at the Academy Awards. But who was the first? Let's go back in Academy history, because we mentioned, because Quvenzhané would only be the second Black woman to ever win for Best Actress, as we mentioned. And when we go through the timeline of Black female winners at the Oscars, it's a pretty truncated timeline.
Yeah, so going back to Gone with the Wind, Hattie McDaniel was the first black woman to win an Oscar. She played the role of the maid, the mammy, in that movie. And she actually spent the rest of her career essentially reprising her maid role before starring in the series Beulah. She actually her career just never picked up after that.
Yeah, even though we might think that, you know, it's an awesome thing. Hey, it's the first black actor to win an Oscar. But she was actually criticized by the NAACP for even taking the role of Mammy because, of its racist portrayal, essentially, and playing into that, black character as subservient to white characters. And like you said, Caroline, she just got stuck playing right. maids over and over again. And even with her last major film, The Big Wheel, starring Mickey Rooney in 1949, she played yet again a maid.
Well, but to the criticism from the NAACP, she actually said, you know, I could get $700 a week to play a maid, or I could be paid $7 a week to be a maid.
And even though, Hollywood sources will say that McDaniel was well respected among other leading Hollywood actors at the time, she still, because of getting pigeonholed in that role and marginalized, essentially, she ended up dying alone and in debt at 57. So things kick off on kind of a low note. And then in 1949, this is a nomination she didn't win, but Ethel Waters was nominated for Best Supporting Actress for her role in the movie Pinky. And yet again, she plays kind of the mentoring servant to a wealthier white female character.
Right. So moving forward, we have Dorothy Dandridge, who's definitely more of a household name. She really made a name for herself coming up through the nightclub scene, which eventually led her to gigs in New York, Paris, and television. She actually also became the first black woman to perform at the Waldorf Astoria during this time. But this all led to the lead role in MGM's all-black production of Bright Road, which is based on a young teacher's life in the South. And this popularity that she achieved in the 40s led her to campaign for the lead role in Carmen Jones, which is sort of the stuff of legend, movie legend.
Yeah, Carmen Jones, as you might assume, was based off a musical based off of the opera Carmen. And Dandridge, for her role as Carmen Jones, received the very first nomination for a black actress for Best Actress at the Academy Awards, and this is in 1954. And Carmen Jones is on Netflix right now, Caroline.
There we go.
And so while I was cooking dinner the other night, I watched Carmen Jones, and my goodness, every other word is a musical song, which is nice if you like musicals. But Dandridge is incredible. She, as soon as she pops on the screen, you really can't look away from her. And she once said that, quote, if I were white, I would capture the world. And at the time, she was often described as the black Marilyn Monroe. And wearing her iconic Carmen Jones outfit, she graced the cover of Life magazine. She was the first black woman to ever do that. And even though she did not win that Best Actress Oscar in 1954, for a moment, though, let's consider who she was up against. Judy Garland in A Star is Born, Audrey Hepburn in Sabrina, Jane Wyman in Magnificent Obsession, and Grace Kelly in The Country Girl. And surprise, surprise, out of all of those, who wins? Grace Kelly.
Well, Dandridge pointed out several times just her disappointment with, you know, the whole system, because she was considered, beautiful, a great actress, very passionate in her roles that she took on. And yet, there was this whole perception that she was so beautiful, there was a danger of pairing her up with a white leading man,
mm-hmm.
because then that interracial relationship was too much for audiences.
Oh, absolutely. And off screen, and this is coming from an article over at The Hairpin by Anne Helen Peterson about Dandridge's Hollywood legacy. She talked about how off screen she did date white actors and producers, and she was demonized for it because at the time, as you can imagine, interracial relationships were still a big taboo. And even though in Carmen Jones, she is opposite leading man Harry Belafonte, who, like, if only just to see him in that movie I recommend you watch, Carmen Jones. Kind of had to take a moment, a little break while I was cooking just to stare at my laptop screen. But anyway, it was a big deal to show Belafonte and Dandridge's romantic relationship on screen in this larger Hollywood production, because even depicting a passionate relationship between a black couple was a huge thing in Hollywood, because a lot of times, even, you know, if you did depict any kind of romance with black characters, it was sort of, you know, a little bit hokey and just kind of silly, like pecks on the cheek and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
Well, much like Hattie McDaniel, who we just discussed, Dandridge's career fizzled, unfortunately. The roles just weren't coming in for her like she had hoped. And in 1965, at the age of 42, Dandridge OD'd on antidepressants.
Yeah, so and this is something that we see over and over again, where these actresses are able to achieve fame up to a point, and then the roles just disappear unless they fit into these kind of tropey characters of the maid or the bombshell or the sassy finger-wagging friend. But let's go on to some more Oscar winners. Unfortunately, we have to jump from 1954 to 1991 to Ms. Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah, she won an Oscar for her role in Ghost, which is still one of my favorite movies.
I've never seen it.
Really?
Really.
That's okay. I mean, I admitted that I've never been to New Orleans, so we all have things.
It's true.
But she achieved the coveted EGOT. She has an Emmy, a Grammy, and a Tony in addition to her Oscar. And unfortunately, she's made the announcement, well, this was back in 2007, that she was retiring from acting because she was no longer receiving scripts.
Yeah. And yet again, the roles just start to dry up. And then when we move to 2001, as we mentioned, Halle Berry became the first black actress to receive the Best Actress Award for a role in Monsters Ball. And sort of like Hattie McDaniel, she did receive some flack from critics who were not fond of the relationship in the film with Billy Bob Thornton's character, who was a blatant racist. And there was also this pretty intense sex scene, and people were like, God, I don't know if this is really worth celebrating all that much. And like these other actresses, since Halle Berry took home that Oscar, that history-making Oscar, she's played Catwoman, an X-Men,
Hallie X-Men.
X-Men. You know, even though I love X-Men.
X-Men.
But basically, the moral of the story is, yet again, she's just kind of not getting these amazing roles, or very, very complex roles, we'll put it that way.
Yeah, well, Jennifer Hudson of American Idol fame went on to win an Oscar for her role in
Dreamgirls.
Dreamgirls, there it is. I kept wanting to say Showgirls, but that is definitely
so different.
Inaccurate. She became the youngest black actor to ever win an Oscar, finally making the leap to leading lady in a biopic about Winnie Mandela recently, but unfortunately the movie hasn't found a U.S. distributor, so she is also part of what a few bloggers have referred to as this Oscar curse for mm-hmm. African-American actresses.
Yeah, and then in 2010, Monique wins Best Supporting Actress for her role in Precious. And then in 2012, Octavia Spencer brings home the fifth Best Supporting Oscar given to a black actress for her role in The Help, which again, critics were saying, oh, wow, what do you know?
Yeah, well, there was the whole argument of, like, is Minnie, that character, really that far from Mammy, mm-hmm. Hattie McDaniel's character? Like, yes, it's maybe a richer role. It's more multifaceted, but is it really making any great strides?
Yeah, does it say that much that, you know, obviously it's the roles that they're being offered. For instance, Viola Davis, who was nominated first for her role in Doubt, and she was also nominated for her role in The Help, was talking to Essence magazine about The Help, quote, "Of course I had trepidations. Why do I have to play the mammy? But you do what you do as an actor if one of the most multifaceted and rich roles you've ever been given is a maid in 1962 Mississippi."
Yeah, well, this actually led Spencer, this same sentiment led Octavia Spencer to say, yeah, I want to be a producer. I want to be an activist. I want to be proactive in bringing about work for men, women, boys, girls, everybody who is good at what they do and deserve a shot at it. So that whole notion of, okay, well, you know what? These leading lady roles are just not coming my way, or, you know, it's just stereotypes coming my way. So maybe it's time that I get behind the camera or start funding films.
Right. And some have said that because Octavia Spencer brings such a rich resume with her already to that Oscar win that she had in 2012, that she will probably have a lot better luck branching out. Even though I will say I did very much enjoy seeing her on 30 Rock in its last season. She had a couple of cameos in there and was hilarious. But all of this, yeah, does point to the question of whether or not there is, as you mentioned earlier, Caroline, some kind of Oscar curse for actresses in general, if not especially for black actresses, because it seems like you get the big win and then work dries up.
Well, it seems interesting and unfortunate that there aren't more of those multifaceted roles for African American women. I mean, there are just aren't that many leading lady roles out there the way there would be for, like, a Meryl Streep or a Nicole Kidman. There tend to be these three main depictions of black women on screen that women are pigeonholed into, and those are Mammies, Sapphires, and Jezebels. And this is coming from the Women's Studies Encyclopedia. K. Sue Jewell spelled out these different three characters. And she said that black women have historically worked as domestics, mammies, been strong and assertive, a sapphire, and been forced into sexual servitude, the Jezebel character. And it's these kernels of truth, she says, that makes these images so insidious and plausible, but they're a distortion of black women's positive attributes, she says.
Right, because they take these tiny aspects in caricatures and just blow them up, really just to serve as foils for other and often white, stronger characters. I mean, I don't think that we need to go into detail describing, you know, the whole mammy stereotype. You know, it's the happy domestic worker, which is, you know, it's often portrayed as someone who is very giving emotionally, but doesn't expect anything in return at all. They're just kind of these empty vessels who are sitting there. And then the sapphire is the strong and the sassy. And I didn't realize this. It was first popularized in the 1940s with the Amos and Andy show by by the wife of the character Kingfish, and then going on to the Jezebel. I feel like Carmen Jones, Dorothy Dandridge's character in Carmen Jones, really sums up the Jezebel. She's the fiery bombshell. She's the dangerous one. Her sexuality will inevitably get you in trouble. She's a honeypot. But at the same time, there's also a servitude aspect to that as well, because she'll do anything to, you know, get the man that she wants.
And yet, people are comfortable seeing that, though.
Right.
Because that's such a common stereotype. It's like, okay, well, this makes sense in my brain.
Mm-hmm.
Because here's a black woman who is this Jezebel character. That makes sense. Having a black character back then just be a leading lady in the way that Grace Kelly was, that didn't quite compute for a lot of white audiences.
Right. And it has to do a lot with, you know, the, like, black attractive women being exoticized and eroticized in ways that white women have not been. And because of that, Helen Tierney goes on to talk about how the Jezebel is a culturally approved victim of sexual assault.
Right. And this ties into earlier roles in Dandridge's career, because she, you know, when she was coming up through the nightclub, she started to get offers for bit parts in movies. But that meant really compromising her principles and playing roles like the Jungle Queen in the movie Tarzan's Peril. And this was another typical role of the time. It sort of goes along with the Jezebel. It's that role of the exotic, you know, tying black women and men in with the jungle and with animalistic tendencies.
Yeah, because if you look at Hollywood in the 1930s, all of the roles for black women really fit into the mammy. But then once you get into pre-60s 19 Hollywood, then you have more of the transition into the Jezebel. And in African-American Actresses' Struggle for Visibility, a book by Charlene Register, she talks about how that function of black actresses was, quote, by contrast in language, costume, and behavior to illuminate or aggrandize the virtue, beauty, morality, sexuality, sophistication, and other qualities embedded in the whiteness of the white female actress or character, almost like a shadow self of the white other.
Yeah.
So no wonder there are not, you know, a ton of wonderfully rich and complex roles for black actresses. And the thing is, the history hasn't changed all that much today, but I wonder if we might see that dial shift if we see more women of color behind the screen.
Right. Well, there are some up-and-comers and some trailblazers before them garnering a lot of attention. Ariel Leon for Clutch Magazine wrote about some young black women influencing film, and just a couple of them, for instance. There's Ava DuVernay, who is a director and founder of the African-American Film Festival Releasing Movement, which releases independent African-American films through simultaneous screenings in selected cities. There's Nikki Atu-Jusu, who's actually, Kristen, an Atlanta native. And she's a young writer and director who's already received a Directors Guild Honorable Mention, an HBO Short Film Award, and a JT3 Artist Award for her short film African Booty Scratcher. Then there's Dee Reese, who's attracted a lot of attention. She's a writer-director of the film Pariah, which is a black lesbian coming-of-age film that premiered at Sundance in 2011. And she's also gone on to write and direct several short films. So there are a lot of women coming up through the ranks, a lot of young directors and producers who are getting behind the camera.
Yeah, and there have already been some, you know, some trailblazers before them. IndieWire listed 10 trailblazing directors. And I did not know this, but Maya Angelou was the first black woman to have a feature film screenplay produced. It was in 1972. It was Georgia. But Angelou hated the production so much, she remade it herself, I think 20 years later. But still, listen to this. Okay. Angela Robinson is the highest grossing black female director in history for the film, wait for it, Herbie Fully Loaded. So, okay.
There's a whole range.
Yes, there's definitely a range. I mean, you also have people like, I don't think that you mentioned Darnell Martin, who was the first African-American woman to write and direct for a major studio, and that was in 1994 with I Like It Like That, coming out of Columbia Pictures. And she later directed Cadillac Records as well. Oh, and also, for film buffs out there, Usain Palsy was not only the first woman to be produced by a major Hollywood studio, but she was also the only woman to ever direct Marlon Brando.
Yeah, he came out of retirement.
Yeah,
for her.
1989's A Dry White Season. So if you're going to trivia anytime soon, you can tuck that little nugget away. But there's been so much commentary this season about Catherine Bigelow, who was the first woman to take home the Best Director Oscar for The Hurt Locker, and how she was not nominated this year for Zero Dark Thirty. But once I started reading about, you know, women of color behind the camera, oh, wow. I mean, it's like they're being completely overlooked in a lot of ways, it seems like.
Yeah. Well, there was Gina Prince-Bythewood, who actually stormed the Independent Spirit Awards a couple years ago. Her 2000 film Love and Basketball was a huge success and earned her Best First Screenplay. At the time, it was one of the largest scale and most high-profile projects undertaken by a black woman. And she went on to adapt The Secret Life of Bees, that book, for the screen, and which grossed $40 million worldwide.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's not like there is a dearth of talent out there, whether it's behind or in front of the camera. I mean, there are plenty of actresses that we haven't talked about. Kerry Washington comes to mind. She was in Django and is also in Scandal on TV right now.
Which, she's the first black woman to star in a network series in 39 years.
Yeah. I mean, and if that isn't saying something, I mean, that's small screen. But still, it's taken us so long to make any kind of progress whatsoever. And when it comes to film, I mean, this is part of a larger question of whether or not it's Hollywood's woman problem. You know, the whole Oscar curse doesn't just stop with black actresses. Mm-hmm. There's a question of whether or not, you know, it happens, you know, it seems like it has, for white actresses as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I mean, we've covered a lot of ground, Kristen. We've glossed over a lot. There are a lot of black actresses, directors, producers who we have not mentioned.
Lena Horne. One of the first. She was never nominated for an Oscar, but she was certainly, you know, one of, if not the first mainstream black entertainer on screen.
Right, who also struggled with a lot of the same things that Dandridge did, mm-hmm. as far as, you know, being beautiful and talented, but you're still black.
And marginalized. It was funny because she was super popular during World War II, you know, during the pinup era. And she was saying that black soldiers couldn't pin up Betty Grable, you know, the white pinup. They were like, she was like, so, you know, I benefited from that. I was, you know, all over soldiers' tents. Where would you pin these?
Lockers? Walls? Suitcases. I don't know. Well, anyway, yeah, fingers crossed for Quvenzhané, and I need to put that on her movie on my to-watch list for sure.
Yes, I would really like to see, you know, a Best Actress award go to a woman of color finally, because it seems like Best Supporting just keeps, you know, going in that direction, but there needs to be more recognition.
Right.
So, yeah, even though we certainly have not mentioned every notable name that we could have, I hope that we have offered a digestible history.
Right, and maybe inspire people to check out some movies they haven't seen.
Yeah, Dorothy Dandridge. Check her out. And read that. Go over to the Hairpin and type in her name to read that article, because it is fascinating and simultaneously depressing. If you do have Netflix, go check out Carmen Jones as well, especially if you like musicals and Harry Belafonte.
Mm-hmm.
Whew. Don't get me started. So with that, if you have any Oscar-related letters to send us, write to us. MomStuff@discovery.com is where you can do it, or you can also go to Facebook as well. Shoot us a message. Like us while you're at it.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise, all things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
Well, Caroline, I've got a letter here from Sally in response to our episode on tomboys. And she said that while my parents love my sister and I very much, deep down, they both wish that they had tried for a third child in the hopes of having a son. And as a result, her sister and her sister were pretty tomboyish growing up. She said that we were encouraged to play sports from a young age, spent many summer evenings playing wiffle ball or frisbee in the backyard with dad. We also inherited our father's Hot Wheels collection from when he was a kid and loved making the cars crash on the track. But then things take a little bit of a funny turn. So, she says, I think my dad was pretty convinced that he could keep his tomboys forever, but alas, puberty finally hit, and he was reminded that he definitely had daughters. There were a few lonely years for our dad when my sister also hit puberty, but then something miraculous happened. I started to date. While most fathers cringe at the thought of their daughter bringing home a boy, my dad loved it. Finally, there are men in the house to talk about manly things. My father has always been very open and friendly with our boyfriends and would often be devastated when we broke up with them. He doesn't need to worry about that so much now that I'm engaged, but my parents have started to request that when we eventually have kids, they would strongly prefer grandsons. I know they would love a granddaughter just as much, but she will definitely be encouraged to be a tomboy, just as my sister and I were. I cannot imagine my father being heartbroken over me parting ways with a fella.
That's funny. My dad doesn't have really any opinions on my dating life, so he might not even notice.
Hot Chad.
Hot Chad. Okay, well, this is from Julie on our gym podcast, our fitness episodes. She says, although it sure does date me, I am a product of the Jack LaLanne TV era. When I was in elementary school in the mid-1960s, I did exercises every morning before I went to school with Jack LaLanne on TV. My mom, too. I was then involved in sports and fitness my entire life, competed in college, and at 52 years old, and as an 8th grade language arts teacher, I still coach 4 sports a year, shorter seasons than high school. I still run with my cross-country and track athletes and do drills with my volleyball and basketball players. My husband and I belong to the local YMCA, and I compete in 3 triathlons a year and 1 endurance swim. Jeez. She says the thank you goes to Jack LaLanne. She also goes on to talk about her gym and says, my Y is an excellent mix of men and women, and I like it much better than the regular gym I used to belong to. And I have a feeling that I agree with her. That was my Y experience in Augusta. So thank you, Julie.
Yes, thank you, Julie, for making me feel incredibly lazy in comparison.
Yeah, I've 3 triathlons.
I'm sweating just thinking about it.
Yeah.
Sitting here.
Nervous sweat.
Well, thanks to everyone who has written into momstuff@discovery.com. You can also find us on Facebook, messages there. Start a conversation. You can tweet us at momstuffpodcast. You can also follow us on Tumblr at stuffmomnevertoldyou.tumblr.com. And if you would like to get smarter this week, you know where to go. It's to our website, howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.